This morning, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Ephesians 6:16. And there, the Bible tells the church that during this spiritual warfare, which we've described as the ordinary Christian life, we are to take up the shield of faith. Listen to the text again. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield plays an important role in the life of a soldier. There is an ancient military phrase that says that the soldier had better come home either with his shield or on his shield. Either way, the soldier comes home. The shield is important in the life of the ancient soldier. And over the last several weeks, what we've done is we've examined this section that deals with this spiritual warfare, and we've anticipated the battle, and we've looked at our enemy, and we've received a charge. And then we looked at the belt and the breastplate and the shoes. And today we have opportunity to look at the shield of faith and the charge concerning it. I'd like to begin this morning with the responsibility to take up the shield of faith. The responsibility. The apostle says, above all. And then we'll look at that in a bit. But he says, above all, take up the shield of faith. You see, that is a responsibility that is given over to all that would claim the name of Jesus Christ. But what we have to recognize when we see that responsibility, and where the apostle says, take up the shield of faith, this is a universal command. It's an imperative, something every one of us is called to do, and yet it's something that not everyone who claims the name of Christ does. If it was a universal practice, if we were all walking perfectly with the shield of faith in our life, there would be no need for the apostle to say, Christians, take up the shield. You see, there's something missing. There's an encouragement that is needed for the church. Not all of the Christians in Ephesus, or by extension, those of us in Orlando, are taking up that shield of faith. There's some that are living the Christian life or seeking to live the Christian life, and they're not doing so by faith. That shield is not being taken up. And without that shield, there is no protection to go into life, to go into the battle. So we're told, take up. It's an imperative. It's something that you are supposed to do if you are fighting the Christian fight. If you are living out the Christian life, and in that battle against the ancient foe, you must take up the shield of faith. Now, know that unless your Christianity is quite new, meaning if you're very new to Christianity, you may not realize that there are those that live for a certain period of time as Christians, and those that profess faith, and those that grow as Christians, and over time they fall away. That happens. Men and women and young people will have what we sometimes call a crisis of faith. And many of you know friends and loved ones and family members that have had such a crisis. And you think back on their life and you say, you know, it seemed that they were such strong Christians, and that they really believed the gospel, and that they were walking faithfully. And yet something happens where they no longer walk in Christ. They no longer confess Jesus Christ. In the language of Ephesians 6, they did not take up the shield of faith. You see, it is our responsibility as men and women and as boys and girls to be diligent in our Christian faith, to be diligent in that which we have been called to do as Christians. And you might think, well, Pastor Nathan, God is sovereign. So if people fell away, God is sovereign over that. And that's true. I'm not saying that's not true. But I'm saying that when the Scriptures tell us that God is a God of means, and that one of our means for walking faithfully in the Christian life is taking up the shield of faith, if that's not done, people will fall away. You are called to exercise your faith, to walk in your faith, to take up the shield and to be a hearer of the Word and to allow that to become into becoming a doer of the Word. So, shield of faith, picking it up, a responsibility that is on every one of you. And maybe you're thinking, well, what is this shield of faith? What exactly is being spoken of here? And maybe you have a mental image of a shield. Maybe you can think of an ancient shield, an ancient Roman shield. And there's two different shields that were common in the Roman military. The first is very small and it's round, and it's used for personal combat. The shield is used to defend the body against a sword or a knife or some sort of one-on-one battle. So a small round shield, and maybe that's the shield that you had in mind, but that's not what the apostle is talking about. The shield here is different. The Greek word that is used here for shield is the same root word from which we get the word door. So you think of a door, same Greek root word. And that door of a shield is what Paul has in mind. The shield is 4 foot by 2.5 foot. It's made of wood. It's covered in leather. And it's intended to be used in concert with other soldiers. This isn't just you all as individual Christians being pushed out into the world with a little round shield and say, okay, now go defend yourself as Christians. Go live by faith in the communities that are hostile against your faith. The shield here is a shield that is used in concert with other soldiers. It is a shield that is intended to be used together with other shields to make up a protection for all of the community of God, for all of those that would claim the name of Christ. Take up this shield. It's something that is for corporate protection, not just private protection. Now, what does that mean for you? Well, it means that this group of people with whom you have thrown in your lot, you need them, and they need you. We need one another in challenging each other in the faith and encouraging one another in doing what we can to pray for one another and to know what the struggles that each one of you have so that we can come together with those shields of faith to protect ourselves and protect our community against these fiery darts. This shield is a shield that represents faith. Now, we could talk about historical faith, meaning that we agree with the events described in the Bible as historically true. You know, you could look at the Bible and say, yeah, basically that's true. I see that's true. Or we could talk about objective faith, and we could talk about the doctrines that we believe. You know, do you believe in predestination? Do you believe in other doctrines? You say, yes, I believe that. Objectively, yes. Or we could talk about corporate faith. That would be like our confession of faith. What we confess together is our faith, and we believe this. We could talk about the ground of faith, that being the Bible. But at the center of what is being considered here is the idea of our saving faith and having an object of faith. That is, what it means to be saved, what it means to have faith as a Christian, and who is our object of faith. When we talk about faith, who is it that we are looking toward? And that's the person of Jesus Christ. Our confession says the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. So this is the faith that protects us. We accept what Christ has said. We receive what Christ has said. We rest upon Him alone for our justification and our sanctification and our eternal life. Our larger catechism says that justifying faith is a saving grace wrought in the heart of sinners and by the Spirit and Word of God, whereby being convinced of his sin and misery and of the disability in himself and all other creatures to recover him out of his lost condition, not only assents to the truth of the promise of the gospel, but receives and rests upon him and his righteousness held forth for pardon of sin, for the accepting and accounting of his person righteous in the sight of God for salvation. So what that means is that if this shield of faith is something that is offered as protection and it has a corporate responsibility, then as individuals, we are to be looking to Christ and we are to be resting in his finished work. And we need to be convinced of our own sin and misery. That means that you need to say, there's nothing here I can do on my own. I need Christ. Friends, have you trusted in this Christ who is the object of faith? If not, take Him up. Do you know that even those who are Christians, who are in Christ already, it is your responsibility to continue to walk in this truth, to continue to accept and receive and rest. Take up the shield of faith. All of these battles that we've talked about in the Christian life, it must be with faith in Christ at the center. Christ is the object of faith. Faith in this Christ as your shield. Psalm 28, the Lord is my shield. Psalm 18, my God, my shield, my salvation. Psalm 33, the Lord is my shield. Psalm 84, the Lord is the sun and a shield. Psalm 115, He is their help and their shield. Psalm 3, You, O Lord, are a shield around me. You see, it is your responsibility to take up this shield of faith in the Christian life, for He is your defense. But what does that mean for you? Does this mean that once you've accepted and that once you're receiving and resting in Christ, that you're secure in this world and you can just walk casually around, never being hurt in battles. No, you see, we continue to walk. We continue to pick up. We continue with this defense. So secondly, we see this morning your persistence in taking up the shield of faith. Persistence in taking up the shield of faith. You can see that right at the beginning where the apostle says, above all, take up the shield of faith. Above all, take up the shield of faith. Another way that can be translated is in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. If it's above all, meaning that in everything of your life, covering that, above that is this need to take up your shield of faith, or whether it is in all circumstances, lay out all the circumstances of your week. You know, make a mental image of your calendar. In all of those circumstances, you are called to take up the shield of faith. So we see that that is persistence. Persistence as Christians. Friends, the faith in Christ, faith that we are called to take up, as fighting this Christian battle, the saving and sustaining faith, is a faith that you are to take up in all times and in all circumstances. There should never be a time in your life where you think, well, does faith apply here? It applies everywhere. It applies in your home. It applies in your work. It applies in your entertainment, the things you do for fun, the way you use time, the way you spend money, the choices that you make concerning friendships and the things that you will value and the things you will do and the people that you will care about the most. In all of those circumstances and in anything else that you can ask me. You could say, well, what about this, Pastor? What about this, Pastor? What about this? And we could do that all day. Take up the shield of faith. Persistence in living out the Christian life by faith. This is so applicable, and the applications are endless. You're called here to view all of life through the lens of faith. Apply your faith to all aspects of your life. So you think here we're coming into May. There's a number of young people in the congregation, a number of students, and they start somewhere in May, start itching to just finish school, to just not care anymore. Let's just get done. You say, well, I'm just going to rush through and get done. I just need to get finished. You say, take up the shield of faith. Does the Christian faith apply to the month of May as you finish school? And the answer is yes. It does. Or we have three marriages coming up in the congregation in this year. Does faith apply to marriage and the preparation for marriage and what it means that you're going to begin life together? And the answer is yes. Or those thinking about career changes and work life and what it means to work as a Christian, the shield of faith must be picked up. All of these circumstances, all of them, there is application in all of these things. And when this comes to hit home most is when all of those things, trials, arise. Because trials will arise. What are those places where you are struggling to apply the Christian life to your trials? What are the ways that you are struggling to see Christ in the midst of conflicts and difficulties, whether those conflicts are at home or at work, or whether they are conflicts with friends or loved ones? You are called to see Christ and to view that situation with Christ in mind, looking to Him as the object of faith and clinging to Him by faith. You see, there are seasons when you will be challenged in the Christian life. You will be challenged. You know those days when the clouds are dark for a while and you don't see the sun and you feel kind of depressed, but you don't know why? And then you realize, oh, it's because I can't see the sun. I'm not seeing it like I want to. See, there are times in the Christian life when it seems as though God has turned His back, or that God is not looking at us in the way that He normally looks at us, or times when it seems as though Christ is far away, or using the language of the Puritans, the prayers that are prayed, it seems that they reach only to the ceiling. And you say, where is God in those times? Where is my faith in those times? How do I live like a Christian in those times? Again, our confession says, the most wise, righteous, and gracious God does oftentimes leave for a season His own children to manifold temptations, to the corruptions of their own hearts, to chastise them for former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon Himself, and to make them more watchful against future occasions of sin and for sundry or other just and holy ends. You see, there will be all of these providences that come to us in our life, and in all of these things, all of these struggles and trials and temptations to sin and thoughts to fall away and thoughts to not believe, and all of these things, we're called to take up the shield of faith. But there will be times that you don't take it up, and you'll struggle and you'll stumble, and we're told that God uses those for just and holy ends, so that you'll say, wow, my heart is corrupt. Wow, I do need to cling to Him more and more. Or wow, I do really see the sinfulness of my own heart. Or I did need to be humbled in this way. God uses these so that more and more you will pick up the shield of faith. Faith given that you will filter what you see and what you hear, so that you will use that persistently in the Christian life. And there will be temptations. There are the times where the corruptions of your heart will be exposed, and you will be chastened by God, and your heart will deceive you, and you will be humbled. But this is to strengthen you in faith, to show you that God loves you as a father, so that you will depend upon Him more and more. And again, I ask you this question again: what are your struggles? What are your trials? What are the difficult things that you are struggling through? We're told, above all, or in all circumstances, we take up the shield of faith. I want you to consider how your union and communion with Him affects whatever situation you are considering. for this week. Whatever the things are on your calendar, or whatever the ways your conscience is against you, above all, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And you say, well, Pastor Nathan, how far can this go? How far can this all circumstances go? How far can above all go? I think the Apostle John answers that question in 1 John 5. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You see, this faith in Christ is sufficient to overcome the world. Now again, contrast that with your calendar for this week and take the hyperbole down a notch. Faith that can overcome the circumstances in your life as you're looking to Christ and clinging to Christ. It is that faith that will overcome the world. This is how important this receiving and resting and clinging, this faith is. It is faith that will overcome. So we've seen responsibility, we've seen persistence, and lastly, I want to show you the object of taking up. Look at the last half of the verse. It says, with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. And again, consider the context. The Roman soldier is in battle. He's got this giant shield, 4 foot tall, 2.5 foot wide. And the enemy's job or desire is to break through that line. You've got the line of soldiers before you. And what would a great way be to break through that line of soldiers? Well, it's with archers. Archers who have skill with bow and arrow, and they take the arrow and they cover it with pitch, and then before it is shot, it is lit on fire. So dozens of archers with lit arrows, shooting them toward the opposing army. You can get that image. I'm sure you've seen, you know, there's some film that you've seen that has that in your head. And the imagery that's there is, this is the Christian life. We're standing there with our shields, and we're side by side, and the enemy is over there and shooting arrows that are flaming towards us. What are the different reactions? Some soldiers will drop their shield and run. The pressures of this battle, the fiery darts of the evil one. Fear will fill the heart. Faith will go away. The shield will be dropped. And they will break away from that which God has given for our protection, which is the church. And what happens when that one breaks away? He's dead. The darts will get him. It will lead to a fiery death. And the soldier may put down the shield once the arrow has hit the shield. Maybe they're standing there in the line and the arrows are coming, and they can hear the arrows and feel the arrows hitting against the shield. And maybe they are filled with fear rather than faith, and the shield drops. Again, death. Or the soldier could continue to hold ground, realizing that those who are next to him, or in our context, those that are next to her, holding on to the shield of faith, doing what Christ has done, called us to do, believing the gospel, trusting in Christ, and walking, advancing by faith. We will make our way to where God has called us to go. You see, there's something I want you to notice about this shield. I want you to notice that in many ways it is so different from the other objects that we've been looking at while we've been studying the armor of God. Think about it. There's a belt, and there's a breastplate, and there's shoes. These are all objects that are intended to protect, or in the defense of, a certain area of the person, of the warrior. The shoes go on the feet. They don't go on the ears, right? They're intended for protecting the feet, or the belt, or girding. It's for the waist. It's for running. You don't gird your face. You gird your loins. So all of these things have protection of a certain thing in mind, or a certain part of the person in mind, the loins, the chest, the feet. So what is the shield? The shield protects the whole person, doesn't it? Faith protects the whole person. And not only does it protect the whole person, it is something that is to be used in concert with other soldiers. Every aspect of the Christian life is to be understood through faith. Without faith, you are unprotected. It is the object of the shield. The object is that we are protected against the flaming darts of the evil one. And those darts are here, temptations to sin and temptations of life, and all of these providences that come at us quickly and that require you to make decisions as to how you will handle it. Again, we talked about this a few weeks. Your life, as you leave here and as you go into Monday morning, you're going to have hundreds of things that come at you where you're going to have to make ethical decisions about how you will live and how you will walk and what you will believe and whether you will glorify Christ. And it will happen all through the week. And then next Sunday, you'll come back here, you'll sit in the pew, and you'll reflect, because that's what we do. The darts are temptations and providences that require quick decisions. See, there are great temptations that will come to you that will require you to take time to think through how you will handle it. Those fiery darts come, and those fiery darts are able to land blows, and flames and cinders spread. And this is, in a sense, the Christian life. And what are you going to do? You must know how you are going to handle these situations. Situations that you need to be prepared for. Now imagine after church, you go out into the parking lot and there's, you know, someone hanging out in the parking lot, and they offer you heroin. I'm assuming big assumption. Most of you know how you're going to handle that temptation, right? No, thank you. Move on. But that doesn't mean that you will handle subtle temptations in the same way. There will be little things or things that you do struggle with that will come at you as fiery darts through the week, and you need to be prepared to handle those properly as well. You need to think through situations according to the Word of God and say, how will I handle this? What will I do in this situation? And again, young people, this is huge for you guys. Thinking through who you want to be in Christ. How will you live as a Christian? There's the pride of life and the lusts of the flesh and the temptations of the devil. A subtle call to deny Christ. A call from your heart to sin. Pet sins. Sins of the flesh. Things that will make you stumble. You need to be prepared. The Puritans were fond of writing big volumes that they called Cases of Conscience. If you want to see it, you can look in my study. Richard Baxter has one. It's about this tall, this wide, about that thick, little tiny font, like maybe size six font, double columns. And it's just a question. When such and such happens, how should I respond? And they just collected these, put them together in books. Here's this way. Here's this way. Here's this way. Some people would say, well, you know, it's legalistic. It's legalistic to say, here's how you should respond. All they're doing is trying to help Christians think through ideas that will come. And again, they can be anything. What do I do if I swear too much? I can't control my tongue. Here's things to do. I have a temptation to steal. What do I do? I have temptation to whatever it is. Cases of conscience. These are the darts. These are the trials. And what you are called to do is to take up this shield of faith that you would extinguish them. Powerfully extinguishing these darts. And the phrase there is, you shall be able. It's one Greek word. Powerfully extinguishing them by faith. The word, the Greek word, is the word from which we get the word dynamite. That's how powerfully we can extinguish these darts. With the Spirit's help, living by faith, these temptations will come, and the life around us, we will be able to advance. We'll walk in the life that we call the Christian life. And temptations and darts and trials and dark providences, they will all come. But you will be strengthened by looking to Christ, using things that are ordinary. Prayer and psalm singing and hearing God's Word and sitting under preaching and using the sacraments, like which will be before us next week. And you realize that in the context here, it's something that you will do not alone, but with one another. The shield of a team coming together, using that as a defense. A shield among shields. Friends, use these ordinary means and remember that you are not in this fight alone, but you are among others fighting beside you under our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has gone before us in battle. We are called to look to Him and to cling. Look to Him and be assured. Look to Him knowing that by faith you will overcome the world. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Amen. Father, we thank you for saving faith. We thank you that as we continue to walk by faith, that we would be able to do so, trusting in you and holding on to one another. Teach us to walk by faith. Amen.